As I looked at this passage, I began wondering more than anything why Jesus uses this metaphor at this time and place. What is he saying? And there's lots of things that are really good and really true, and I'm not saying that any of whatever else we've heard or that I've preached in the past has not been true. But I was thinking about it, trying to think about why this metaphor right here, right now. And as I was thinking about that, I realized, so this is John chapter 10, I realized that the story immediately before Jesus talks about himself being the shepherd and the gate is this long story of the man born blind in John chapter 9. And I preached about that a few weeks ago. When I preached it a few weeks ago, the question I focused on was kind of almost problem of evil kinds of questions. Why did this happen to the man? The answer is that we're not supposed to look for that kind of answer. We're not supposed to even, don't even bother asking those kinds of questions. Don't look for someone to blame. Rather, do the works of God to help heal the community. But I didn't focus last time on some really important bits of that story that will help make sense of Jesus talking about himself as the shepherd and the gate. So let's go look back at John chapter 9, focusing in on those parts that make this story make sense. So pay attention to the way fear and separation and exclusion are a big part of this John chapter 9 story. Fear, separation, and exclusion. So this is John chapter 9. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Jesus' disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned so that this man was born blind? Was it this man or was it his parents?" And Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. But so that God's mighty works might be displayed in him, we must do the works of the one who sent me while it's daytime. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world." After he said this, Jesus goes on to heal the man born blind. As part of this healing, there's a big controversy that erupts amongst the religious leaders and the religious people surrounding this and watching it all. This happens on a Sabbath day, and so Jesus working on the Sabbath was seen by some to be this great offense and sin, and so they thought Jesus must be a sinner. Others thought, no, he must be from God because he was able to heal the man. And so there's this fight and whatnot. So the religious leaders begin an investigation into exactly what happened. I'll pick up the story and start reading again. The religious leaders didn't believe that the man had been blind and received his sight until they called for his parents. The religious leaders asked the man's parents, "Is this your son? Are you saying he was born blind? How can he now see?" And his parents answered, "We know he's our son, and we know he was born blind, but we don't know how he now sees. And we don't know who healed his eyes. Ask our son. He's old enough to speak for himself." And then the narrator of John tells us this, and this is really important. His parents said this because they feared the religious authorities. This is because the religious authorities had already decided that whoever confessed Jesus to be the Christ would be expelled from the community. That's why his parents said, "He's old enough, just ask him." And so the religious leaders question the man, they ask him questions, the man tells the story again, and then finally the man ends up saying, "I don't know whether this man Jesus is a sinner. Here's what I do know. I was blind, and now I see." And so the religious leaders questioned him. "What did he do to you? How did he heal your eyes?" And the man replied, "I've already told you, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" After the man said this, the religious leaders got really upset. They defended themselves. They talked about how great they were. And then finally they responded and said, "You were born completely in sin. How is it that you dare to teach us?" Then they expelled him. Jesus heard that they'd expelled the man born blind. Finding him, Jesus said, "Do you believe in the human one?" And the man answered, "Who is he, sir? I want to believe in him." And Jesus said, "You have seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking to you." And the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. As I was reading that last bit of the story, this one man being expelled by the religious leaders, and then Jesus hearing that that they had expelled the man, went out and found him. And that made me think of the parable that we read in the Gospel of Luke, the lost sheep, where Jesus, or the shepherd, leaves the 99 to go find the one. So there's, I think, a real connection there to the idea of shepherding. Immediately after this story, where it says the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped Jesus, Jesus then turns toward the religious leaders who are doing all this accusation, and Jesus speaks to them. About four sentences later is when Jesus starts this John chapter 10 bit, when he talks about himself being the shepherd and the gate. And all of that helps make sense of these words. They are words of comfort to people who are scared and separated from their community. They are words of belonging to people who've been excluded from religious fellowship. They are words of judgment upon those who are doing the excluding, to those who expel others. One of the main points here, and there's lots of things we could say, but one of the main ones is that Jesus is the good shepherd for all of the sheep, for all of us. That Jesus is the gate for everyone. The gate isn't the part of the wall that keeps people out. The gate is the part that welcomes them in. Jesus is an open gate for everyone. All are welcome. So, if you are one who is creating barriers, keeping people out, then you're on the wrong side of God's mission in the world. Jesus speaks these words of welcome and belonging against you. And at the same time, wanting you to become welcoming and be a part of it all. If you feel separated, if you feel excluded, if you are full of fear, if you are threatened with expulsion, Jesus says to you, "Don't worry, I've got this. I've got you. You are welcome here with me. You belong." And for those of us who are part of God's people, who identify as part of God's people, this is a call for us to be like Christ, to be people of comfort and welcome and belonging for everyone. Lord God, would you help us? Would you help us to be like you, not like the religious leaders of old and currently, who build walls and keep people out? Help us to be people who are about welcome and belonging for anyone who wants to be a part.